it's time for the bullpen.
OMG, the bullpen.
It's the bullpen, everybody.
Mercy me, the bullpen.
Go team, go team.
Yes!
All right, all right. Welcome into the bullpen. It is Friday, everybody.
Ah, the weekend.
The weekend is almost here. Except I work tomorrow, so I mean, yeah. It's like it kind of doesn't actually feel like the weekend. But hey, starting next week, I won't have to work on Saturdays.
It's supposed to be the weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. But hopefully you guys have had a good week. For those of you that are just here as freshmen now, hopefully connections went well. For those of you who are back or are listening online that are going to take classes again next week, you know, try to have a good outlook. I know that, like, I'm kind of torn because on the one hand, like, I'm kind of excited, but on the other hand, I'm like, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's my final year, so I'm just like, I just want to graduate and be done now.
Nerd. So.
Nerd.
Yeah, so now this makes me think of, like, me saying that. Makes me think of this, like, cartoon where this guy, like, is, like, dying or whatever, and he's like, and this other guy's like, help, is anybody a doctor here? And this guy's like, I'm a doctor. And then he's like, well, you're a nerd. And the two guys give each other a five.
Nice.
So maybe it was just a bit done by friends.
Sweet.
kind of ridiculous. But, yeah, it's Friday. It's football. Starting back up next week for college.
Yeah.
Like, we're playing Weber on next Thursday. So next Thursday morning, we're going to do a preview of the game and kind of our outlook on the season a little bit more. We kind of did that before, but we're going to go a little bit more this time. But, yeah, so I'm super stoked.
Yeah.
It's almost football season again. And
it's not only that, but it's getting to the point where it's going to be football 3 days a week.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, actually, no more than that, because you'll have Friday games for...
Yeah, high school and then Saturday, Sunday.
Well, I mean, that also, you'll have college games on Fridays. Sometimes you'll even have some on Thursdays.
Monday night football.
You got Monday night football as well. So it's basically like...
Thursday night football sometime a thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes a thing.
So, yeah, like that. The NFL season will start on a Thursday. So we'll have football Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday for the foreseeable future.
Wow.
So that is...
So you will get your fix.
Awesome.
No one can complain they haven't had enough after that.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
But I want to talk about a couple things for the news. I guess I was going with that is because football season is starting, there's also going to be fantasy football.
Yes.
That is also starting pretty soon once the NFL regular season starts. So we just got, you know, this week we've got the week three of the preseason. Next week is week four, and then after that it starts up. And I still need you to get on our...
I'm on.
You are?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't check it this
morning.
At like
1 in the morning. this morning I finally clicked the one button I needed to register
right
the week.
Yeah, well, it was like it wasn't that hard, Evan. But anyway, so we are going to talk a little bit about fantasy football today. That's going to be a little bit later. But right now we want to talk a little bit about some news that is, you know, going on. And I want to start with an awesome thing that happened last night. Well, most people will say it's not awesome, but being a Dodgers fan, I thought it was awesome. So Matt Moore from the San Francisco, I almost said 49ers, Giants, San Francisco Giants, I almost said it again. He was pitching a no-hitter, and he had two outs in the ninth inning, and Corey Seager got a hit.
Oh, man, they did our doomsday job
right
for us. I mean, obviously, we'll have one today, but...
yeah.
life imitating art.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost... I mean, it wasn't quite the same thing as our doomsday scenario with Jake Arrieta in game seven of the World Series.
But if you're a Dodgers fan,
it's pretty awesome.
Sweet. It's sweeter because it's true.
But yeah, two outs in the ninth inning, and he loses his no-hitter. And it's awesome because the... You know, the Giants are the biggest rivals for the Dodgers.
It's a tight pennant race.
Equally, the other way around, at least this year. I mean, obviously, not every year is going to be like that. Yeah. But for recent history, that's been true.
Yeah.
And so now with that win, like, Dodgers are now 2 games ahead of the Giants. And Clayton Kershaw hasn't played in over a month. I think it's been like 2 months now.
And they're still doing
fantastic. And the funny thing is, like, they couldn't win when he wasn't pitching before he got injured. And since he got injured, they have the best record in baseball. And it makes no sense.
He's going to come back, and then they're going to, like, intentionally injure him again.
Nah, dude. I mean, because it's not like anything that he was doing was negatively affecting the team, because he has a really high win percentage. So he's getting stuff done. But, yeah, it's just funny that the Dodgers were able to break up. They lost the game, though.
Some Giants fans spent the rest of that night angry and drunk somewhere.
I mean, I don't think it was like a quote-unquote somewhere. I think it was everywhere.
Just trying to numb the pain.
I don't want to feel this anymore. But, yeah, so that happened yesterday. There's been a lot of home run robberies recently. Did you see the one with the Red Sox rookie the other day?
No, I saw the one with the Royals. The dude on the
last
Royals.
Night.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll have you talk about that in a second. But a couple days ago, there was a Red Sox player. He was a rookie. He went out and he jumped up and like it was like the low part of a field. I don't remember who they were playing. But it was like a low part, maybe like a 6 foot high wall. And he jumps up and like catches the ball as it like it robs a home run.
Nice.
And just like catches himself like in his waist just like bends over like on the wall or whatever. He timed it perfectly and managed to not get hurt, so it was impressive. Because like if you take that jump it too high and you end up like flopping over the fence, you could get hurt. But he didn't. He did a great job with it. It was impressive, I would have to say.
To say the least.
He was the top play on SportsCenter top 10 the other day.
Oh, that's awesome.
But yeah, tell us a little bit about what happened with the Royals yesterday on that play.
All right. Where was that? Cuz I know I saw it. But anyway, there was, I can't remember who it was, but I think it was similar to that one. Not quite remembering it, but I just know it was some crazy, like running full speed to catch up to the to what would have been a home run. And so I think it played out similar to the Red Sox one, but I can't quite remember. But anyway, lots of robbed home runs, though. So.
Yeah, that was a very good in-depth analysis right there.
I was watching it like 1 in the morning. I can't remember.
Why did we keep staying up so late? Because I was also up late. Another news, this is also Dodgers related, but that's just because it's what happened. They traded their backup catcher, A.J. Ellis, for Carlos Ruiz.
Oh.
Yesterday, which I thought the trade deadline was over. But
yeah, that's a late trade if it's almost September.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they have a couple different kind of deadlines or whatever. It might be one of those things. I didn't, like, look all the way into it. I just read about why it wasn't a bad move this morning. But I think it's just one of those where you can, do the whole waiver trade thing or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's what...
Something to do with whatever terms of their contract would allow them to...
Either way. Traded. In other news, Tom Brady will be playing in this preseason game this week for the Patriots. And that's kind of a first for this season because he hasn't played the first two.
Yeah.
And apparently it sliced up his hand like before the second one. And that was part of why he didn't play. I don't remember. But
trying
it's
to
like
deflate
weird.
Footballs, this bro. Got his hand trying to deflate footballs.
Yeah, it's a new NFL anti-tampering security system.
Shing. Knives come out of the ball if you try to...
Just like you try to deflate them and out comes a switchblade.
Shing.
Oh, no! Oh, no!
There's evidence now, dang it.
Sorry, it was more like he tries to deal with it, out comes the knife.
And that's his scream, by the way.
Yeah, that's Tom Brady's scream.
We have that on record.
We had that recorded beforehand because we thought we just might need it. And once again, this is Tom Brady screaming. Of course I'm kidding. But, no. You know. I guess before we move on, is there anything else you want to get to with news?
No, I think it's more of a wall of shame thing that I've got today. Kind of a wall of shame thing. So
I wonder if it's the same thing as me. We'll see. Well, I mean, because, hey.
You get double points if we're both thinking of the same thing.
Double points.
But
anyway.
We like to have a lot of shame.
It's time for the wall of shame. Shame.
Shame.
Shame.
Shame. Shame. Yeah. It is time for the wall of shame, everybody.
There's lots of it.
Lots of shame?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's some shameful things that have been going on.
In the world of sports.
In the world of sports. Anyway, I have two today. How many do you have?
I've got one.
One. All right.
The one I've got is not the same.
So hopefully we're not double pointing this up on the first try.
As much as we like, you know, being unanimous, still we like to have a lot more people in the wall of shame than
normal. Yeah. Well, mine are both related to the NFL.
So is mine.
Okay, so it's a decent chance that we're overlapping here.
Does it involve a certain Dallas Cowboys player?
No.
Oh, okay.
Nope,
I think
I'm
in the clear.
Not involved with the Dallas Cowboys on this one.
Although the NFL itself does earn double points today because we all.
I mean, I think it's triple points.
Triple points.
But I mean, I guess it's not the NFL itself. It's NFL players.
True.
So this happened earlier. It's not like it just barely happened, but it was earlier this week. Josh Norman took to social media and was bashing a lot of different things, trash talking, and overall being Josh Norman.
Oh.
He I think he like said something about Odell Beckham Jr. being like, I don't know, being made kind of by the game against him or whatever. It's the other way around. He also said that Roger Goodell's job could be done by a dog. And he also said that that he was talking about Demaryius Thomas, saying that he's like, I thought he was this all-world guy, and like I shut him down, talking about in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And so he's just like bad-mouthing people, and to someone he lost to as well. And the best thing was when Demaryius Thomas responded on Twitter with a picture of his Super Bowl ring, and he's like, where's your one of these young fella? Even though I think that Josh Norman is actually like a couple months older. But he's like, called him young fella. But it was just so funny because, you know, he's just shut him down. It's like,
how do you come back from that?
I might not have been the star of that game, but my team won. So
I contributed to a winning game.
Yeah. I mean, he only had like two catches or something. Not Josh Norman did a good job against him. But also, I think it suffered from the lack of arm strength by Peyton Manning, the lack of offensive production as a whole. So I don't really think it was so much that Demaryius Thomas got shut down and that Josh Norman just did such a great job. He did a good job.
Yeah.
But I think that, I mean, I don't feel like it was an emphasis to get Demaryius Thomas the ball anyway.
Yeah.
So it's not like he stopped their game plan. Their offense didn't do much, but the defense did awesome. But either way.
Super Bowl ring, though.
Josh Norman, you get to go on the wall of shame because of your idea that you're going to trash talk to everybody and you're going to insult the commissioner who, hey, if you mess up, you know, he's in charge of your, like, your punishment.
Well. You know?
Yeah. And then also, like, trash-talking someone from a team that you lost to in the Super Bowl. And, like, really, I don't think Josh Norman's as good as he thinks or as other people think. I think that, you know, he's a good cornerback, but he seems to think he's the best ever, and I just don't see it at this point. Maybe he'll prove me wrong in Washington, but I think he's going to have a down year this year. Because I think he really benefited from the system he was in Carolina and with the players they have on their defense. So I'm interested to see how it goes. But either way, why are you trash-talking on social media all the time? Like, if you're going to trash-talk, do it to someone's face.
Or at least know their resume before.
Well, I mean, he knew it, but I mean, it's like, think about it, dude. Think about it. But yeah, he got shut down hard.
Ouch.
So Welcome to the Wall of Shame.
Insult to injury.
Josh Norman. So. Anyway, who you got?
So, guy on the Dallas Cowboys, Ezekiel Elliott, a few, I don't know if it was like an hours or a day before
he was
supposed to go.
I know what you're talking about
his,
now.
His preseason debut. His little pregame ritual decided to stop by a Washington State pot shop. They don't know if he like actually bought anything, but
it's a pot dispensary.
Dispensary. You ignorant fool.
You lower class son of a gun.
You don't even know the proper pot terms.
But, you should learn a little bit of terminology before you decide to come on the radio and talk
scientific.
About
scientific
pot dispensaries.
Dispensary. But yeah, he's already in hot water for domestic abuse allegations that a former girlfriend brought up against him. But obviously, pot, even though it's legal in Washington and Colorado, still a banned substance by the NFL.
Yeah.
I think he still ended up playing, I think. Yeah, I think he still ended up playing, had a few good plays. But,
he carried the ball 7 times for 48 yards.
So pretty good, pretty good.
But doesn't this just, like, fit with the narrative that is the Dallas Cowboys at this point in time?
We need to be numbed. Numbed to the pain of being...
No. I mean, maybe that's part of it. But I was just thinking, like, they keep getting these guys who are just constantly getting in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm not even saying that just because I don't like the Cowboys. I don't like the Cowboys. But, I mean, they're signing players that are under investigation for domestic violence.
Yeah.
They drafted him. I mean, not that they would have known about the whole, like, the allegations against him for, was it domestic violence for him, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, so for him, didn't know about his, you know, wanting to smoke pot. I mean, so draft him and you don't know that. But it's just, like, it's funny because he fits with, like, a lot of the guys that they have recently acquired that nobody else wants to touch because they don't want to deal with the issues that go with the baggage.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's like right before the game, too, you decided to visit this dispensary, you know.
Dispensary.
I don't know. Well,
I say, so, jolly good show at that dispensary there.
Dispensary. So, yeah, going on the Wall of Shame for... certainly not helping the image of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, you know? Or his own image. I mean, he's a rookie coming in here, and he's already setting
debut.
He's already setting the tone that he's going to be someone that's going to be involved with this kind of thing for a while. And hopefully he's not. I mean, I would prefer that he isn't. But he's setting himself up.
Yeah, and I mean,
to be looked at that way for his whole career.
Yeah, even if right now there's no evidence he actually bought anything or whatever, it's just.
But why are you going into it?
Yeah, you know, it's just. You're about to play your first, you know, NFL game. You should at least be maybe a little bit more focused on that.
Yeah, and he's like the highest drafted running back in a while now. And he's given a bunch of money. He's kind of going to be the face of the Dallas Cowboys for a while. So, you got to realize that.
This is a sign for things to come. This is
you got to realize that you're going to be in the spotlight. People will be watching what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I just think that him not paying attention to that shows a little bit of immaturity. And hopefully that's all it is just him being immature and like, oh, yeah, I want to look at a pot shop.
Yeah.
A dispensary.
Dispensary.
And then hopefully it's not a problem for him because it's not fun to see, like, good players constantly be out of the league because they're doing dumb things off the field.
Well, plus it's like I'm sure someone, like when you get signed with an NFL team for the first time, I'm sure someone goes through and says, here are things that we're going to test for, like drug-wise. Here's a list of things you just shouldn't have in your system if you want to play in the NFL. And I know somebody has explained that to him in the past.
I mean, it's basic 101. Like, you know you're not supposed to do that. Because first off, like, it's illegal in most places. Like, obviously it's not in Washington, and that's why he was able to go to a
but league-wide, still, though.
But league-wide, it's against the rules. So, I mean, you can't do it. Can't do it, dude.
But I've hoped that maybe he'll just learn from this.
I hope so, too. Even though I don't like the Cowboys, like, I don't want to wish, you know, a player of his talent to just be, well, I don't really want to wish any player to be stuck in this kind of rut of, yeah, I'm in trouble all the time for doing things off the field. Because that's no fun for anybody. But hopefully he can turn it around, and we'll see. But either way, he's going on the wall of shame for his indiscretions.
Indiscretions at a dispensary.
At the dispensary of marijuana.
Marijuana.
Marijuana. So, for the last entry of the wall of shame today, also from the NFL, another rookie, Joey Bosa. I think we talked about this before, but he still hasn't signed with the Chargers. He's the only first-round pick that isn't signed. And it's just, for me, it's just mind-boggling that he has, you know, let it go this far. Chargers gave him a really good deal. I mean, I know there was something in his contract where he didn't like specifically, or at least his agent thought that it should be different, and he's just listening to his agent. Like,
was was it a money thing?
It wasn't a, I mean, it was about,
I mean,
from what I read,
money, but
was, it was about him thinking that he wanted to either, and I don't know all the, like, contract speak, but he wanted to get his signing bonus paid out, some of it paid out more early, so he had more at the beginning of the year than, you know, waiting until the end of the year to get paid. But either way, he still would have, like, the second highest signing bonus for the first year of anyone, and he, except for Carson Wentz. You know, Carson Wentz was the only one who had a better signing bonus, and he would be allowed to, or he would have more money in the first year than anybody else. Joey Bosa would be second with the offer that the Chargers gave him. And he just continues to reject offers. And it's like, you're not going to, like, it's pretty much set. You've got a very small range where your contract is going to be based on where you're drafted. Because they had so much trouble with the ginormous contracts to guys who've never even played in the league. Like, they still get really good contracts to be a first-round pick, but but it's not as much as before. And they said it kind of like, the contracts need to be in this range. And since then, nobody has held out this long. Like, it's just mind-boggling because apparently his dad also did it. When he was drafted by the Dolphins, he held out for a while on his rookie contract. And if you look at his dad's career, he only played 3 years. He wasn't able to, and he was a first-round pick. He only played for 3 years on the Dolphins. I think he happened to be on the team that won, like, went undefeated and won the Super Bowl. If I think that is correct. But he washed out of the league in 3 years. And he should know, you know, when I held out, like, I didn't get in there. I didn't get to do the development I needed to. And so I was playing from behind from the get-go. And that's what Joey Bosa has put himself in the position to do. He's missed, like, all of training camp so far. He's got a week left of, like, training camp because that's when the preseason's over. And he's missed all of it so far because he's in a contract dispute over something small that won't really matter. It's not like they're going
to... Which is like just getting thrown to the Lions playing-wise if your first time in the NFL isn't even going to be...
Yeah, I mean, it basically means he's not going to be able to do much of an impact this year because with, like, the late start, he's going to... Like, right now, he's fourth on their depth chart for, like, defensive end. And it doesn't make any sense for him to have held out this long. Because, like I said, the money situation, it's pretty much going to be the same. He wanted to get paid more of the signing bonus before the season rather than after the season. And that's really just an issue of if you might get cut. And he's not going to get cut. Took him with a third pick. And he's not going to get cut. So there's really no reason for that. And really, I think it comes down to his agent probably has been... Like saying, you know, oh no, like we need to get more from this. We need to get more from this. Yeah. And Joey Bosa is just listening to him, okay, like I'll trust you. And
which
thinking,
is the agent,
you know,
looking out for the agent. I mean,
yeah, well, I mean, but that's the thing is, like, it's almost as if the agent is the boss in this situation.
Yeah.
And he's not. Joey Bosa is the boss. He's the one that's going to be making the big money. And the agent's just there to, like, help facilitate things. He's going to get part of the cut or whatever. But Joey Bosa is the one that's employing him. I mean, I don't think he's gotten paid anything yet because he hasn't signed his contract. But, like, for me, if you're Joey Bosa, like, you've got to just, like, you know, man up and say, look, okay, I've held out really long. Let's get, like, the best offer you can again, because apparently the Chargers pulled theirs off the table because you rejected it. So, like, do the best you can, because really, you're only hurting yourself. You know, the Chargers, they'll be able to, like, find someone to fill your role or whatever. Maybe they won't be as good as you could be, but you haven't proven anything. You don't have any leverage in this situation. You can't sign with another team. They can't trade you to another team at this point. The deadline for that already passed. If you decide you don't want this contract and you sit out this year, then you have to come back, or you can go back into the draft next year, but you're not going to get taken in the first round after sitting out a year.
Yeah.
And you're going to make way less money. And so it's just like, pull your head out of your butt and just like, just take the deal. Like, you're not going to get anything better. Like, the Chargers, maybe they can do something a little bit more, but either way, like, they have the leverage. Yeah. Like, Joey Bosa hasn't done anything in the league yet, so he hasn't earned the right to, you know, demand a lot of things.
Hmm.
Like, he's basically getting paid off of potential, not by production. And you know, the Chargers, I don't really blame them for not wanting to, like, give him everything that he wants, because you have, like, players that flake out of the league every year. It's like they're giving him a fair deal. Just take it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I just, Joey Bosa, you're going to the wall of shame. Just sign your deal. Get on the field so that you can actually start.
Get some practice. And
start
then
preparing yourself.
Into the NFL.
For me, it doesn't bug me too much because I'm a Broncos fan, and I don't need the Chargers to be contend with the Broncos this year. But.
But still.
But just still, it's like, just be smart.
Yeah.
Your dad held out. He only lasted 3 years in the league, probably because of the late start in his development.
Plus, and it's like you're a first-round pick.
Yeah.
Any money you get is going to be fantastic.
Yeah. You're still getting millions of dollars.
Yeah, I mean, you're into perspective, you're amazing, doing amazing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but it's anyways. Just, look at it this way. Like, if however much, like, you're making millions of dollars, it's more than you've ever had before, and, like, you got to realize, you know, if you decide to sit out and you get less money next year, and then you drop, like, you wash out of the league in 3 years like your dad did, like, you're going to be stuck with a lot less money next year than you would this year. So, I mean, if you're worried about washing out of the league, why not go for the biggest contract you're going to get? Yeah. Like, you're not going to get a bigger contract. You're not going to get much. You're not going to get different wording because you have no leverage. Hmm. But, yeah, so he goes in the wall of shame. And for anyone who just tuned in recently, you're listening to The Bullpen here on Aggie Radio KBLU 92.3 in Logan, Utah.
The one and only.
The one and only. And we're just talking about our wall of shame. But right now, we're heading into our newest segment. Man, things are going so great. I don't even think they could be any better.
There's no way we can screw this up.
Not even us.
Or can we?
It's doomsday time.
Doomsday scenarios left and right.
That's right. It is doomsday time.
One of the best parts of my day.
Right? I mean, it's just something we started doing, was it last week or the week before?
I think it was last week.
I think it was last week.
This is really new.
But either way, what we do is we take this team, and we're not doing like a worst-case scenario. That's initially what we were calling it.
Yeah.
But it's not really a worst-case scenario, because a worst-case scenario means you never win.
Yeah.
And so
everybody gets really injured, nobody wins.
It's so really like things are going well, and then they just the wheels come off from under the bus, and it's just a doomsday scenario.
They stumble and fall right before the finish line. That's kind of what the spirit of this is.
Yeah, and so today, so we already took the best record in the MLB and gave their doomsday scenario.
Yeah,
which was fun.
Which, given personal experience as a Cubs fan, is not too far off of what could happen. So,
yeah, I mean, it's just fitting that it might actually work.
So it's not out there that this couldn't happen, you know?
Yeah, and so, I mean, for this one, we want to do, you know, the best team in the American League as far as record-wise.
Yeah.
And that would be the Cleveland Indians.
Yes.
So Evan is going to give us our doomsday scenario for the Cleveland Indians.
Yes. So, ladies and gentlemen, close your eyes. Let me take you to a little town called Cleveland, Ohio.
Little town.
A little town called Cleveland, Ohio. Home of the right now NBA champion Cleveland Cavaliers. Coming off finally, you know, a championship for a long-suffering Northern Ohio city that had waited so long for any kind of trophy whatsoever. So this year, coming off the, you know, pretty great year that the Cavaliers had, the Indians now have the best record in the AL, doing really well, going on fantastic win streaks. But I've noticed something that is a little concerning, and it's their neighbors to the north, the Detroit Tigers. Now, we'll get to the that was our studio tiger. We keep him in a cage here. But we'll get to the playoffs here in a minute. But let's ruin their regular season first. I feel like starting it off with something, because the Tigers have been slowly climbing up the AL Central over the past couple of months or so. That's right, Detroit, ladies and gentlemen.
That was the Cleveland fan screaming about the whole situation.
There's a tiger coming, and so Detroit Tigers currently only 4.5 games out. So it'd be real tough to. I mean, it'll be tough to overtake Cleveland Indians, but it's not totally out of the picture. So what I'm going to do first is that the Tigers continue their decent playing that they've been over the past month or so, and the Tigers end up taking the AL Central, giving the Cleveland Indians the top wild card spot. And so so they get to the wild card playoff, and we'll just say they squeak out a win against, well, you know.
Is it really important? We'll throw in the Braves. They'll make it.
Well,
they won't.
No. In the AL, let's say they get the wild card with Seattle. I think Seattle takes the... Nope. Yep. Boston. Sorry. Excuse me. Boston takes the AL other wild card spot. And so they win. They squeak it out. They're kind of shaken up. Goes to the divisional against Texas Rangers. And in Cleveland fashion, I'm just going to say they get swept in 3 games in the divisional. Because this is the Indians, and they've been to the divisional enough times that...
they know what's going to happen.
I think they get swept. And so over the course of this past...
But is this the best we can do for their doomsday scenario?
Well, there's plenty of ways. It's Cleveland, so that's just one option.
I just have this feeling that the doomsday scenario is to be like where it seems like you're going to win everything, and then you lose it.
True.
Obviously, by my use of it again with the Cubs and with the Warriors yesterday.
Okay, well, that's one option. Another option, let's say they do win the pennant. We'll give them that because they did win 2 pennants in the 90s, lost 2 World Series. So there's the possibilities for World Series blunders are pretty fantastic.
Doomsday scenarios left and right.
And up and down if you're an Indians fan. So let's just pick let's pick a National League team. Let's say the Nationals. Let's give the Nationals their first shot at a World Series. So they play the Nationals. I still can't see them even making a Game 7. I know we're like trying to put them to the brink, but I still feel like with Cleveland Indians, I don't think you're even going to get to a Game 7. You know.
Yeah, maybe. They got a good closer, so.
True.
Traded for from the Yankees. Yeah. So, I mean, maybe. Yeah. But either way, their dreams are going to come a bit short.
I feel like a sweep is appropriate for Cleveland.
All right, here's another idea another alternate doomsday scenario. The Indians continue whatever they win. They sweep their opponent in the division round. They sweep their opponent in the ALCS, and then they go to the World Series and get swept by the Cubs.
Yes. A Cleveland versus Chicago World Series. It's like both teams' fans are like on edge, you know.
And both teams' fans are like, well, I guess everyone's like, at least one of these terrible histories is going to be
finally
ruined.
Done. Yeah, so...
But it's just funny because, like, they look really, really dominant.
Oh, yeah. And, like, blowouts.
Well, actually, we'll just, okay, we're going to say this. They blow out everybody for the, you know, the divisional round and then also the championship round for the American League. Then they go in the first game of the World Series, they're up, like, 10-1 going into the ninth inning.
Oh, gosh.
And the Cubs generate tons of offense. They come back and they win 11-10. And then after that,
that's a psychological victory.
Swept, blown out the last three games.
Yeah, because if you've given up 9 runs in the last inning of the game, I think that, you know, destroys your confidence.
Oh yeah, for
sure. Just like, I don't even know why you show up to the ballpark the next day.
Well, I mean, with the whole doomsday scenario with the Cubs, like,
yeah.
I mean, so after the Cubs actually almost getting a perfect game and then giving up 3 walks and a grand slam in the bottom of the ninth to lose the game 4-3, so you just retire and be like, look, I can't do this anymore.
You retire to become like an organic farmer somewhere where no one will ever have to see you again, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I want to do. That's how I want to go.
Because at least the Cubs, they could push it. But I think if the Cleveland Indians don't come out swinging, I really just – their record of choking and tripping up is just as glorious, I would say.
Yeah, it is.
But
yeah, so that's the doomsday scenario. Let us know. Anybody that you want us to give a doomsday scenario to, it can be an athlete or a team. Just tweet us at USU Bullpen. And give us your ideas for that. Also, if you have anyone you feel deserves to go into the Wall of Shame, you can also tweet us the same thing at USU Bullpen. And, yeah, we'd love to share your ideas.
Yeah, so. We haven't done an individual athlete
We haven't,
yet.
But there's lots of potential.
Oh, yes.
But anyway,
yeah.
Moving on. For anyone just joining us again, you're listening to The Bullpen here on Aggie Radio, KBLU 92.3 in Logan, Utah. And... like right now, we're going to talk a little bit about fantasy football because it's about to start up.
Yeah. Especially now that a novice such as myself finally
right?
is registered with the league.
Yep. And so we're doing a league with us here at Aggie Radio. We got a couple people from the Statesman as well. But I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Fantasy football's fun. If you've ever watched the league, it's pretty entertaining. It's not really so much about fantasy football, but it's about this like group of friends who play fantasy football and they trash talk and all that. But really, like, I guess, so this is your first time doing fantasy football.
Yeah. With any sort of like knowledge of the game, you know?
So, I mean, you have done it before. You just didn't.
Yeah. But it was like middle school and I was just like, okay. I like this team. I'm going to take their offensive line, you know.
You don't do offensive lines in fantasy football.
Well, and now I know. So
so this gives us a good opportunity. So, Evan, I would like you to explain to everyone fantasy football.
Fantasy football, you draft real-life players from could be any team that you think are good, and basically, depending on how they perform every week, it's like determines how many points your fantasy football team gets. So,
yeah. I mean,
in a nutshell,
you're not wrong. Just, you know, left a little bit to be desired. So, I mean, you get to go out and pick whichever guys you think will do the best, statistically speaking. Because this isn't about how the team is going to, like, their team is going to do.
Yeah.
It's about them individually. And you want to pick the players who are going to have the most success individually. And then you could do as many of those as you can. Because obviously everyone gets to draft from the same pool. And you only get, you know, the players that are available to you. So you want to pick the best lineup with the guys who are going to get the most stats. And if you can do that, you'll get the most points and you'll win. But it's like... it's kind of interesting, the idea of fantasy football, because, yeah, it's fun and everything, but at the same time, it kind of takes away from, you know, cheering for your team, because you'll, like, be cheering for different players throughout the league that are on your fantasy team, and you don't focus as much on cheering for your team to win. And so at times, like, if you're a diehard fan of a team, like, you're not going to care as much about fantasy football because you want your team to win. Like, if I'm, let's say, like, I'm a Broncos fan.
So you could have, like, a guy on your fantasy team. His team's playing against your favorite team, but you'd need him to do
really well. I want him to do well, but I want the rest of that team to suck. And so, I mean, it's an interesting, you know, dynamic that if you want to incorporate both. Some people don't really have a team and don't really care, but they're just excited about the idea of, you know, winning at fantasy football. And so they just cheer for individual players. They don't care which team wins. And so, I mean, there are thoughts that maybe fantasy football it takes away from, you know, the game itself, because you're more focused about players getting stats, and that's what you want rather than a team winning. And if you had anyone on the Broncos offense last year, you're probably pretty disappointed with the results, especially since 2 years before that, you had Peyton Manning setting records, passing the ball, and getting passing touchdowns and all that. Just insanely good. Obviously, tons of production from his wide receivers, including like Demaryius Thomas and Wes Welker and Eric Decker. And also Julius Thomas was fantastic. You could get any of those guys, and you were going to get good stats. And then you turn around, and the last 2 years, I mean, I guess the year after that, they were still pretty good, just not as good. And then last year, they were pretty awful because Peyton Manning didn't have, like, the strength, and he was playing injured for a bunch of it and couldn't plant his foot and throw the ball, so he wasn't as effective. So you end up getting disappointed. So really, you don't know what's going to happen. And that's the kind of the fun thing about fantasy football, but it can also be quite frustrating. If you pick a guy who you're like, yeah, this guy has been good for years, and he's going to be good this year, and then he has a down year or gets injured, and you're just like, well, there went my first-round pick. Like, so, I mean, fantasy football, it's fun. I'm not as into it as maybe a lot of people are. I'm excited to play it. I've wanted to play it for a couple of years. I didn't play it at all last year. But I'm excited. I'm going to be doing at least a couple of leagues this year, and hopefully I'll win. But like, you really see just – it's part of it is skill, being able to predict who's going to be the best. But part of it is luck. A lot of it is luck. Like, you kind of have to – you kind of have to be lucky with a lot of this because, like I said, injuries can happen.
Yeah.
You might get lucky and go against someone who has a bad game. And so you end up benefiting from that. Even though your guys still do all right, you just benefit from it. So, I don't know. What are your thoughts about it?
Wow, I think it's just... I think a part of it is a little... not really daunting, I mean, because it is just fantasy football, but it's also like, you know, doing your homework enough to know... Obviously, you know who, like, good players are, because anybody that even just basically follows it can recognize who some really good players are. But, like, finding the best combination of players. Because, obviously, good players are going to be taken by other teams. So, it's not like you can have everybody you want. But, like, knowing also, okay, well, if this guy is gone, then I've got, you know, A, B, and C that I could pick instead, you know?
Yeah, and then it's also, like, you develop kind of a bit of a personal bias on players. Like, players you don't like or players you think will not have a good year that turn around and do have a good year, and you're just like, ah. Like, I don't remember how many years ago it was, but there was this receiver that signed with the Broncos that is a journeyman, not that spectacular. Came out, was the leading receiver for the Broncos when Orton was the quarterback, and he had a great year and disappeared after that. So, I mean... you never know who's going to just, like, step up.
One and done. Phenomenal players, but... it'll be interesting. I think going from someone who kind of just casually follows football to being someone that, like, needs to know a little bit more about the players just so I'm not making really stupid picks. But that'll be interesting.
The good thing is, though, for those who aren't really knowledgeable about it. ESPN does a ton of things with fantasy football, talk about their predictions, like these guys that that's what they do, is they're paid to study stuff or whatever. For example, that ESPN has their 2016 rankings for the top 300 overall players based on their previous performances and stuff. So
nice.
Yeah. Another thing that's important to remember if you are doing fantasy football is to make sure that you have guys to replace your guys when they have their bye week, and to make sure you switch them out. Because
I forgot about that.
If you say your quarterback has a bye week on like week 5 and you forget, and so your quarterback doesn't get you any points because he's not playing, you're probably not going to win. Let's be honest. You're probably not going to win. So, I mean, it's important to pay attention to that. Make sure that all your guys that you have in your lineup are going to be playing that week.
Yeah.
And that you have someone who's a suitable replacement. Another thing that's important is to, as you're drafting, to remember is, you don't want to start out drafting a quarterback. because there's lots of quarterbacks that will give you similar numbers. There's not as many like guys that will give you just like crazy numbers at other positions. Like, for example, running back is usually a position that everyone drafts running backs for the first couple rounds because you don't have tons of options of really good running backs. And, the current number one ranking for ESPN is Antonio Brown, which makes sense because the guy's caught more passes in 2 years than anyone ever has over a 2-year span.
Wow.
And he's a fantastic receiver. I mean, you can't say he's not the best receiver in the league right now. That might change this year. But up to this point, as of last year, he's the best wide receiver in the league. And so really it went from a thing where there was tons and tons of running backs going at the beginning to now that it's mixed between running backs and wide receivers. For the top of the rankings, because running backs can get you a lot of points, but you don't have as many options that will give you the similar amount as you do. It's very top heavy, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And so you have to get running backs early if you want them to be good. Same with wide receivers. I mean, if you have someone that's just elite above everyone else, like Antonio Brown, you're going to want to take him pretty soon. So I think a lot of people will pick him first overall. And if you get the first overall pick, it's pretty lucky. So really, if you're going to play fantasy football, make sure you do some research and figure out which guys, are projected to do well. If you can find out more about them and their history, that can help you out. I benefit from having, constant involvement with football, like always paying attention, checking stats and seeing how guys are doing. So I kind of know which players are going to be good. But at the same time, that doesn't mean I'm going to win. Because a bunch of it, like I said, comes down to luck. Like, I picked a lot of good players last time that I played fantasy football with my family. And, I was like, I'm gonna win because I've got a great team. But, you have freak games by players that cost you a win and stuff like that. So just because you win fantasy football doesn't mean that you're just suddenly an expert. You may have
another
done,
thing to know.
You might be, but you can't just say I won, so I'm really smart about who's good at football, because a lot of it is luck. You obviously have to have some skill, or at least
you can't pull names out of a hat. You had to at least pick
well,
probably, if you
to really have a ton of success. But just because you picked well doesn't mean you're going to win every time. You could just have three of your guys have a bad game on the same week and go against a team that wasn't very good, but their players did enough better that they won.
Yeah.
Another thing, if you aren't interested in doing fantasy football, there's another fun thing that is on ESPN, and that's Pigskin Pick'em. So basically you go in every week and you pick which teams you think are going to win. And if you end up being the best at picking which teams are going to win games throughout the season, then you could win a prize.
Oh, sweet.
But it's really I think they only have 3 people in the whole world that will get the prize, but it's fun to do, I think.
Yeah.
They also have another thing with college. It's the college pick 'em. They don't do every single matchup because that's a lot of games, But they do a lot of the high-profile ones. And so those are different options that you can do on there. They also have fantasy basketball and baseball and hockey, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I only really hear about it like when it's football and baseball.
Mostly it's like, football because football is really popular. With the whole like baseball and
I think baseball is just because it's such a stats-oriented game. I think that's also part of it. But
for me, I when I think of fantasy baseball or basketball, I just, you know, to me it doesn't I don't understand that one as much because, you know, you have games going like every day. And so it's like when do you start them? Like, how does it all work? Because not everyone's going to play the same amount each week.
Yeah.
So I haven't really delved into those. So I've got more understanding on the college or on football. But, you know, it's definitely something you can check out either way. But yeah, so we might do a challenge amongst us as well, where we do a pigskin pick'em.
That would be cool.
Just like make a group and do it and see who does the best at the end of the year. I think that'd be fun. So we're gonna do that, but that's all the time that we have today. Gotta find my bell. Sorry, I'm on the wrong page. There we go. That's all the time we have today, guys. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. If you want to check out this episode or any previous episodes, you can find those on our website, aggieradio.com. Just look up the bullpen. This one will be right on the front screen in just a few minutes when I upload it. But yeah, if you guys have any feedback, anything you want to hear about, let us know. If you've got a doomsday scenario, you know, let us know. And we'd be happy to keep you guys involved with us and share your ideas as well. And also, even if it's something you don't necessarily want to go over the radio, like you just want to share with us so we can see it, I mean, you can do that too. But I want to thank you guys for listening and want to wish you guys a happy weekend. And, you know, when we come back next week, we're going to be doing school. So that'll be fun. We are going to talk about do a preview for USU football next Thursday because we do have a game next Thursday night. So make sure you check that out.